welcome back to the second hour of Leading Edge Medicine. Leading Edge Medicine provides only general medical information. Since everyone's individual situation is unique, you should consult your own physician before taking any action related to your personal health. All content of this program is intended for general informational purposes only.
Good morning and welcome to Leading Edge Medicine with your host, Pete Talbot, along with Dr. Samara Umat. Leading Edge Medicine is sponsored by Longevity Medical Clinics and is devoted to helping you feel and function better tomorrow than you do today by providing the newest and most advanced medical care designed to improve both your body and your brain. Leading Edge Medicine will keep you informed regarding the very latest developments in science and medicine while highlighting some of the Northwest's most prominent physicians, all while helping you separate the science from the silly and the facts from the fiction. Now, here's your host of Leading Edge Medicine, Pete Talbot.
Well, I'll tell you, the first hour was heavy. There was heavy aspects of it.
Well, you've got the heavy hitters here, you know?
Well, I mean, that's what true, would you expect? But it was heavy. In fact, our producer, Jerry Berg, again said, you know, you need to just remind people that there is hope. There are answers, and really that's what longevity is all about. Even though the African virus may come and get us, we don't know how serious that's going to be. But this whole area of health is a serious topic. And obviously the older you get, the more serious it becomes to you.
Yep.
So with that in mind, it made me think of medicine in general. And I haven't told you I was going to ask you this, but I've been told that when doctors either enter medical school or certainly when they leave medical school, in fact, Dr. Dan Nelson has said this also when he's been a guest, he said that when they leave medical school, they're told, don't forget, 50% of what you learned is not true. Is that an exaggeration?
Well, what I got told, of course, you got to realize this was 45 years ago.
Yeah.
was that... 5 years from now, 50% of what we have taught you will be either outdated or proven untrue. We just don't know which 50%.
Right, and so, hence the importance of the continuing medical education. Yeah. They just want to make sure that you don't think you're done when you're done, because you're just starting. You're not done.
you've now done your first 8 years of education. Okay, now it's time to start really learning. And you're going to have to continue learning the rest of your life, or you will fall behind.
So that comes to we've talked about the horrible delay between science learning something that is true and how long it takes for insurance companies, for example, to implement them in their protocols.
Well, and it even goes beyond that. Mm. The wonderful thing about my job, you know, because Samara has basically taken over much of the running of the clinics on a day-to-day and supervising the physicians and stuff. I still do most of the research reading and pass it to her, and then she passes things on to the other doctors. But the peer review process, you know, when you do a research project, you do the research. First, you come up with an idea. Then you take a couple of years trying to get the funding. And then you come up with a research protocol, and you have to get that approved by the human experimentation committees. Then you finally get around to doing the research study itself. And then you can try to get it published in a journal. So you submit it to the journals, and if you find a journal that's interested after a year or two, they then put it into the peer review process, which means they have your colleagues in the same field review your research and criticize it and ask you to make changes in your manuscript and so on. From the time you actually say, hey, I want to check and see if such and such is true, to the time that it gets published can easily be 5 years.
Sure.
Wow.
And for the time that it is published, from the time you finish the paper, is usually close to 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
So when I read a really interesting research article, I say, wow, that's neat. But I know it's already at least 2 years out of date. Mm-hmm. The guys that wrote that paper are already on to something else.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They've moved ahead for the last 2 years. So what I want to do then is I say, okay, this is super interesting stuff. I need to get to know these guys. So I send them an email. I make phone calls. I send them a certified letter. That way I know they actually get it.
Uh-huh.
And, and I try to wrangle a visit to their lab. And then I can get on an airplane and I can fly anywhere on planet Earth and I can sit down with these really smart research guys, any one of which can run rings around me intellectually. But what I get to do is pick the brains and find out what they really think versus what they were allowed to publish. Because what they published may not be what they honestly believe. It's what they were able to get past their colleagues that were criticizing it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so I gotcha. Gotcha. Mm-hmm.
So I get a chance then to talk to the guys and say, okay, here's what you published. Give me the real skinny.
Yeah.
What did you really think about this? What are your real conclusions? Not the conclusions I was able to read. And in the last couple of years since then, how has your thinking changed? How
right.
has it evolved?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Then I get to bring that information back to the doctors.
Back to the clinics. Yeah.
So I'm getting to learn stuff that won't show up in the journals for years.
Right.
And won't therefore show up in insurance-based acceptable 10
years
protocol.
Beyond that.
For a long, long time. I mean, and the classic example recently, Jerry, was when all of this treatment for Alzheimer's became popular from Dr. Bredesen's work, and you flew down to California to visit with him.
Yeah.
And then since then, we have evolved so much in what we offer in that area.
That's right. You know, so it's really neat because I like knowing stuff before other people do. It's just an ego trip.
Well, let me tell you that's what our patients say. That's the aspect, because our patients are smart enough to know that they need to be on the leading edge. They don't want to wait. One paper I think we read said 15 or 17 years it takes insurance companies to catch up with reality.
Frequently, yeah. Well, you got to remember, the insurance companies don't make money by using the absolute newest, flashiest stuff. They make their money collecting premiums.
Yes.
And paying as few claims as necessary.
That is very true, actually.
So, it's a different business.
Yes, it is.
It's not a business designed to provide the absolute newest, best, cutting-edge care.
Right. So, you know, basically trying to keep you healthy is not the insurance company's...
No.
That's not how they make their money, right?
That's right. But doesn't it make sense that if they could flip a switch and understand that, they would save money?
But they
by
would
prevention?
Only, they would only save money if you were going to stay with them for the next 5 or 10 years. But you change insurance companies frequently.
Right.
If you change your job. And
you change your job, you move, or
you get a better premium.
You get a better premium. For,
yeah.
It's $10 a month less. You go to the cheaper company. And so...
$10.
Yeah. So if it's... If it's not going to impact what it's going to cost them this year, they don't care.
Interesting.
Okay. If it's going to improve your health 5 years from now, odds are you're not going to be with them 5 years from now.
Okay. Let me tell you my story. I grew up with parents that were very health conscious. And so we understood the value of supplementation and what have you. And it was designed to be just that, supplementation. So we were always sort of on the leading edge there. When I got married 51, 52 years ago, I didn't even think about insurance. I worked for myself, opened my own businesses and restaurants, you know, 12 Baskets Restaurant and all the various things I've done. And we never had insurance. Well, that's not true. We got to the point where we did a major medical, but I never had dollar one. You know, go to the doctor if you have the flu or have a cold or that kind of a thing. I had to deal with a $10,000 deductible. So if me or my wife or my kids got cancer or in a horrible car accident or what have you.
You had something to cover it.
Yeah. Well, I could handle 10 grand, but I couldn't handle $100,000 or $200,000 or $300,000. And so I had the major medical, but not dollar one. I always thought that was stupid. Well, there's some logic. I tell my friends, if you are dependent on dollar one type insurance, which everybody says, oh, it's their right to have it, and everybody has to have the dollar one. You have to have somebody like Longevity Medical Clinic that is out there on that leading edge, like my folks always were, Vicki and I always have been.
And we want to minimize your risk of needing that.
That's right.
Right. Yes.
But why pay that $800 a month, that $1,000 a month for a family and growing for if you get a cold or, if, you know, just the annual physicals? If you need a physical, you can pay for a physical. The point, though, you need longevity.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Because of these very things that you're saying, to be on the leading edge. Otherwise, you're 15 years behind reality.
Yeah, and you know, to that point, the newest things that we've been talking about is the senescent cell therapy program.
Yes.
And it does help, and there's more research. Actually, it's published a lot lately, Jerry. I'm reading it everywhere now.
Yes.
But we've been offering it for a while. But more recently, I read about the cardiac issues and then how it can help in the percentage of people that have congestive heart failure.
Decreased risk of congestive failure, especially in women.
I didn't realize that 1 million Americans are diagnosed with congestive heart failure every year. That was like a shocking statistic to me. And so if we use something like a senescent cell therapy protocol, we can reduce their risk of worsening congestive heart failure, which can lead to their mortality.
Even better, I would like to intervene early enough so they, we're not worried about worsening. I don't want them to get it in the
first place. At all, yeah.
You know, the cardiac senescence is a real problem. That heart has been beating every hour of every day for as long as you've lived. In fact, it started well before you were born.
Mm-hmm. You know, that is
true. At about 8 weeks gestation, your heart started beating. And it has beat and beat and beat, and it's never stopped. And you do develop senescence. You get the cardiomyocytes get globular. They start decreasing the amount of mitochondria available. And that's where congestive heart failure starts to set in. You basically get a heart that cannot repair, can't heal. The blood supply is not as good. The nerves are starting to go bad. And at some point, it's simply not able to pump blood efficiently enough to provide you with your needs. And now you're sliding into congestive failure. The purpose of the senescent therapy should be not to wait till you have congestive heart failure.
True.
But yeah, the more data I'm looking at, the more I become convinced that by 50 or so, we should be offering this to our patients much earlier. You know, our program has always been, we started with the basics.
Mm-hmm.
We started with the hormone therapies, the inflammatory processes, the lifestyle, the diet. And then once we had everything tuned up as much as we could, if we still needed more progress, we would add the senescent therapy. That might not be the best way.
Right.
I'm starting to think that offering it earlier in the program, especially for people in their 60s and 70s and so on, maybe even close to the starting point,
yeah,
might be a smarter way to go.
And therein again lies what we were just saying. The science is evolving so quickly in that now. That's why we're thinking along those lines. I mean, when I got into this, it was the basics and the foundations were support the endocrine system with the hormone replacement program, mm-hmm. support nutritional needs, make sure that mitochondria are functioning well, make sure they have enough ATP, and then build up on that. But now things are changing very rapidly in this area.
Sure. So, you know, I am more and more convinced that this should be a bigger part of our program. You know, it's not something that we are actively, I mean, we're telling people about this on the air just because it's, who knows, it's something that just came up. But, I'm doing it.
Yeah.
Many of our patients are doing it. Not everybody tolerates the medications well.
That is right.
There are people that get adverse reactions. These are not totally benign medicines. They are fairly potent. So, we have to start judiciously. But for people that tolerate it, I think the anti-senescent therapy, it should be a go-to much earlier in the program than we have traditionally done.
Yeah, I'm anxiously waiting for research from Mayo for the human trials to come back.
Yeah, well, and of course, you've seen the human trials now on, you know, the kidney failure, on the osteoporosis. I just sent you guys some papers on osteoarthritis and rheumatoid arthritis. Now we're getting more papers on the heart. It's the Alzheimer's, the cognitive studies that I'm really wanting to get the results from. Mm-hmm. And Mayo has a great study underway for cognition, because if we can abort that degenerative neurologic process that leads to Alzheimer's disease, that will be really
amazing.
Great.
Yeah, indeed.
Well, with that in mind, it is time for a break. We have a video on our website that'll just knock your socks off, talking about senescent cell therapy, a little bit about exosomes. It's called The Two Stages of Aging. Basically, talking about what, Jerry, you were just referring to, what we started out as, basically and fundamentally, at longevity, but some of the things that we're able to do now are just amazing. So go ahead and watch that. It's about 40 minutes long, but I promise you, you will not stop watching. It's fascinating. It's called The Two Stages of Aging, and it's on our website at lmclinic.com. Hey, when we come back, let's take a call or two.
I started playing in the Puget Sound Senior Baseball League when I was 51, and I started pitching. And the guy was my regular catcher for the 3 years before I started the program, was catching me one day after I'd started on the program. And he came out about the third inning, and he said, "Dude, I don't know what you're doing, but you've gained about 5 or 6 miles an hour on your fastball." And I didn't go into think about longevity at the time, but I just kind of knew that that was what was making the difference.
Boom, 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 boom.
Does she love me with all her heart? Should I worry when we're apart? It's a lover's question I'd like to know.
Hey, welcome back. And a quick little reminder, the two stages of aging, we talked about it ever so briefly, actually. These two here talked about senescent cell therapy. Didn't talk so much about exosomes during this last segment, but if you want to watch the video, The Two Stages of Aging, boy, I encourage you to do that. You want to know what is really out there on the leading edge and that is making a huge difference in a lot of people's lives? Check out The Two Stages of Aging. It's on our website, lmclinic.com. That's lmclinic.com, and there's other stuff there, and you'll want to watch those videos too. For example, the introduction to longevity, that's a fascinating one, sort of the who, what, why, where, and when of longevity. So that's cool too, lots of reasons. So that's all at lmclinic.com. and let's take a call, shall we?
Let us go to Tacoma and talk with John. Welcome to the show.
Hi, good morning. Hey, I got a question on TB500 and BPC157. I guess first off, are compounding pharmacies able to legally make it, or is it still but regulated to the research chemical world?
I have no idea what the regulations are on that or not. You know, the compounding pharmacies can only make things that are in which the underlying chemical is approved by the FDA for human use. Once it has been approved by the FDA for human use, then the compounding pharmacy can make different versions, different strengths, different formulations of it. But I don't know what the status of either of those is. So I'm afraid I can't help you much.
Are you familiar with either one of
those? Not really, no. These are arbitrary chemical designations that, you know, usually research companies put number, letter, or names on their compounds. They don't want to say what the real chemical is, because then other people can look at it. So they give it a proprietary name that makes no sense to anyone else, and that's what's happened here.
Yeah,
these are
okay. Well, they're short. Yeah, they're short chain amino acids, and a lot of people in the, you know, the weightlifting bro science world have used these as you know, healing for ligamental and tendon injuries.
Mm-hmm.
So it's still kind of in the on the dark side, but okay.
Yeah, and fortunately or unfortunately, compounding pharmacists are not allowed to, quote, manufacture. They have to have a prescription from a physician that says, here's right. what I want you to put in the right. compound, these amounts in this base, in this type of formulation, and then they can make it for that one person. So,
okay.
but, you know, if it is not a controlled substance, if it's a legal drug, then yes, a physician can write it to the compounding pharmacist, but yeah. it's a
well,
little bit.
You know, it's sold online as a research chemical, and I mean, that's kind of the workaround until, you know,
yeah.
until yep. things start getting cracked down on.
And, sure.
And, know, I mean, all the.
Yeah, and if it's sold online as a research chemical, and you buy it and you're not doing research and you get hurt, you know, then you can't sue anybody. And that's the workaround.
Yeah. Well, you know, people say they're using their lab rat when they're really using themselves to,
of course.
You know, inject on. So, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yep. All right. Sorry about that.
Thank
all
you,
right,
John.
Thank you.
And indeed, it is time to take another call. Let's see, where are we going to go? Let's go to Maddie. Maddie, welcome to Leading Edge Medicine.
Hello, Maddie.
Hi.
How can we help?
Well, I am curious about, personally, my own voice, my own throat, and the problem of having to clear my throat a lot. So it almost feels like I have a lot of phlegm in my throat, and being that I know that Samira Umatz has been is an ear, nose, and throat person, and I'm wondering, I was kind of told that possibly I have extra loose skin in my throat because I'm, as Jerry Mixon says, of a certain age, I guess. and so I'm wondering if my, you know, my back there is wearing out and is kind of lax, and that's why there's a buildup and not enough room to go down the rest of my esophagus, I guess. And the other question I have is, and that's not really related to me so much, but how come older people have to do with the mouth and the teeth and the tongue, how come older people seem to not enunciate and elocution is failing, and they're just kind of slurring their words, and sometimes it almost sounds like they've had too much to drink, and maybe they have sometimes, but so yeah, their tongue and their teeth just don't move as well. So it's kind of it's two questions, and I'm not sure really how much that relates. Maybe not at all.
Well, give it a shot there, Dr. Mitchin. Or how about you, Dr. Umatz?
Well, the throat issue, you know, the most common reason is probably a reflux disease. A lot of times when people get older, reflux disease causes them to clear their throat a lot, and they get phlegm collection in their throat. That is an issue. So a couple of things you can try. You don't have to be allergic to dairy, but if you try to reduce dairy and carbohydrate, high glycemic food intake, spicy food intake, try reducing eating late at night and see if that clearing improves a little bit. And then if it doesn't, then, of course, you can go in for an ENT evaluation.
And your
well, I
husband...
also have, I'm sorry, I also have apnea. So I'm just really wondering if there is just a clogging or a trap in my throat. I know I wake up a lot during
sure.
the night.
Yeah.
And I don't have acid reflux. I don't know if it's like acid reflux or just reflux, if they're two different things, but I don't have any kind of burning because I looked that up because I thought, oh, maybe that's what I have. But I had COVID 3 months ago. And this is actually one of the things that is new. So I'm over COVID, although I test positive still, which is also a riddle. It's because I have dead COVID now in my body.
Well, sometimes, you know, post-nasal drip can also cause similar symptoms. So if you have nasal or sinus allergies or congestion, then that drip can also cause similar symptoms to what you're describing.
But, you know, as people age, several things can happen. One is that we don't swallow as efficiently. But the purpose of the mucus in our nose and our upper throat is to catch dust, debris, pollens, all that sort of stuff, catch it in the mucus, and then we're supposed to swallow it,
right,
and keep it out of our airway so we don't breathe it.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we're not drinking enough water, mm-hmm. that mucus can get quite thick and doesn't slide okay. down as easily as it would if it were thinner and more watery.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So dehydration can cause that kind of phlegmy stuff that just seems to want to get caught. Obviously, allergies, and you know, respiratory infections and so on can do it to us, asthma. Reflux does not have to be reflux all the way up to burn. If the diaphragm, that muscle that forms part of the gastroesophageal valve, is getting thin and weak, we can actually get digestive juices that come up a little bit into the esophagus before they get pushed back down. But the vapors, the gases from our stomach, can actually come up into the back of the throat and make us either cough or do throat clearing.
Mm-hmm.
So that is another common problem. And you don't have to have the burning sort of reflux.
That's right. Yeah.
It can be almost asymptomatic, in which the throat clearing or coughing can be the only obvious symptom.
Right.
So that is a possibility. So making sure that you stay lean, that you don't get excess fat in your belly to increase intra-abdominal pressures, can certainly decrease your reflux. Also, staying upright and never filling your stomach, mm-hmm. only eating partial meals so that you get up when you're a little bit hungry still, will help prevent that.
Okay. I have those extra pounds from COVID. I have the COVID-19. Not quite 19, but...
yeah.
No, I do understand. Yeah. We're all trapped and not as active as we'd mm-hmm. like to be these days.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
Sure. And right now in the winter, dry indoor air can be an irritant.
True. Yeah.
Lots of times, if you don't have a humidifier on your heating system, that dry air will cause irritation
for sure
and make you do throat clearing.
So, Maddie, thank you so much. Thanks, Maddie.
Good. All right. Thank you so much.
Take care. Okay. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much. Well, call after call, I never cease to be amazed. There's so many reasons why you want to consider longevity. Check us out. I've been talking about our website today. The videos on there are amazing. If you're new to the program, we've been on the air for almost 22 years. But if you're new to Longevity Medical Clinic and to this program, Leading Edge Medicine, check out our website, lmclinic.com. lmclinic.com. We've got some videos there that are just amazing. It's also where you go if you want to make a free health analysis appointment. Check that out. 2 free tests, $100 of free supplements, longevity supplements. Lots of reasons to do that at lmclinic.com. We'll be back before you know it. Don't go far.
I'm in the longevity program in Lynnwood with Dr. Armstrong, and I'm very happy. And one of the things I realize why it's being very successful for me is that I feel like I have a personal coach.
The night was clear and the moon was yellow. And the leaves came tumbling down. I was standing on the corner when I heard my bulldog bark. He was barking at the two men who were gambling in the dark.
Welcome back to Leading Edge Medicine. Pete Talbot here, but I am with Dr. Samara Umat, the assistant medical director at Longevity Medical Clinic, and also the medical director, at Bella Medica, which is our aesthetic division. We're going to have to maybe take a minute or two and talk about that down a little later in the program. But also with us, if you just tuned in, Dr. Jerry Mixon, the founder and chief medical officer of Longevity. Just a little bit of side information. The average person listens to talk radio for 22 to 26 minutes. And so sometimes I need to reintroduce who these people are with me in the studio because we have new people. They come, they go, they've never heard. Who are they? They're driving down the street. So
dare they leave?
Well,
Yeah. Isn't there something we can do about that?
We require them to start at 8 o'clock and not stop.
Sign in.
That's right. Sign in.
You need a note from your doctor to sign out.
Okay. And you're the doctor?
Bathroom, no bathroom breaks.
Yes.
I can't even remember. Where are we going now? Okay. During the break, again,
yes,
we often get the fodder for what we're going to do.
Yes.
During the breaks, because you just pulled up an article and you said, oh, this is interesting, talking about the relationship between menopause and thyroid.
Right.
And so why don't you talk about that?
Well, you know, it's a common issue. And when women go through menopause, we always assume that they're going through a declination in their hormones, and therefore the symptoms are because of that, and because it is normal, some people will not be treated because it's a normal transition of life. But a lot of times, the underlying issues could be something completely different, but because they mimic menopausal symptoms and it's around the same time frame, we forget to check for that. And one classic example of that is thyroid disorders, particularly hypothyroidism or a sluggish thyroid gland. And that increases in frequency in women, and 1 in 8 women will have hypothyroidism. And as they get older, the symptoms of fatigue, weight gain, hair loss.
Back up one moment.
Okay, back up.
Let's go. I'm going to mention a symptom of menopause, and you tell me whether or not it's also present with hypothyroidism.
Sounds like a good quiz.
Okay. Dry hair.
Yes.
Hypothyroid and menopause.
And menopause, both.
Thinning hair.
Both.
Both. How about coarse skin?
Both.
Dry skin?
Both.
Increased wrinkles?
Both.
Disrupted sleep?
Both. Weight gain?
Yeah, getting fat.
Yeah, constipation.
Constipation. You're jumping ahead of me now.
Sorry.
Come on.
Sorry.
Don't irritate him.
No, he's making a point. I'm going to let him.
That's right. Yeah, but yes.
Mood changes.
Mood disorders, fatigue.
That's right.
You know, lethargy, loss of sex drive, dry vagina.
Yes.
Bladder problems.
Yes.
Yes. When you run down the checklist between menopause and low thyroid function, they just overlap.
They do.
The only one that I can see that really doesn't fit a lot is that low thyroid usually has decreased sweating.
Right.
And the menopause gives lots of sudden bursts of sweating.
Night sweats. Yeah. Right, right.
But there's nothing to keep you from having both at the same time.
Right.
There's the key.
That's right.
Because it can be this, it can be that, or guess what? You might have them both.
You might have them both. And then the problem is, you know, if you've never measured your thyroid function in the past and now you have a TSH of 4.5, your doctor's going to say, oh, well, it's pretty normal. And
but what if a year ago it was 1?
Yes. And yeah, and 4.5 still falls in the normal range, but we don't know what has happened to not only the breakdown of the hormones, but also to your function over time. So you are declining in function because your thyroid gland is becoming sluggish slowly but surely, leading you to hypothyroidism. Yes.
This seems to be a really good time to talk about the definition of normal and why that can be such a dangerous term. It's a dangerous term when your doctor says you complain about something, whether it's one of those issues that you just, that whole long list.
That's right.
Being cold or constipation or all these issues. And the doctor says, oh, well, hey, you're 62. That's normal for your age. You're 75. That's normal for your age. How should our listeners respond to that?
Well, how do you define what is normal? A normal range is based on a statistical guide from a population of about 100 people, and you get a bell-shaped curve where the normal is in the middle 95 percentile. The lowest 2.5% and the highest 2.5% is discarded. But that middle 95% that doesn't mean you function best at any random place in that. It may be normal. Your best functioning may be somewhere in the lower end of that range or the highest end of that range or in the middle. And what we do is identify where physiologically you were supposed to function at your best. And that is should be the ideal functioning range. And then we use that to help get you to that ideal range.
So let's talk really specifically, Jerry. I know I've seen you or heard you several times over the years talk about what that normal range is out of 100. Can you explain that?
Okay. Well, I mean, basically, the normal range runs for a large population of people. And it what we do is we find the statistical mean. We go two standard deviations from that mean, which encompasses 95 point something percent, 95.2, or is it
97.2.
Yeah.
The
bottom 2.2 percentile are abnormally low. The top 2.2 percentile are abnormally high. So really, it just says there's this wide, wide range. What we do at Longevity is we don't accept age-normed values because people in their 60s and 70s don't usually have the same mid-range of healthy people in their 20s.
Sure.
So what we do as a starting point, and I have to emphasize, this is just our starting point, okay? We look at where healthy 25 to 30-year-olds typically function, and we make that our initial target. Because we found that if we get most people where their body was at 25 or 30 for this endocrine function, most people do really well.
For the hormone
for
levels.
Thyroid, testosterone, estradiol, progesterone, pregnenolone, dehydroepiandrosterone, growth hormone levels, all of this stuff, we're shooting for the midpoint of a healthy 25 to 30-year-old as our starting point. And the reason I have to emphasize starting point, that statistical group is made up of a large, wide range of people. Human beings are made to the same basic plan, but there's enormous variation in each of us.
So if a person has a thyroid level, let's say at 10%, they may not feel at their optimum. That may still be optimal or be normal.
Normal, yeah.
But they may need to be at 40% or 48%.
Because, right. See, I don't know where that individual
that's
was
right.
When they were 25. I can measure them now, but I can't go back 35 years and say, where were you 35 years ago? So I have to start today. I have to say, okay, statistically, this is where most people would do well. And so that's where we move your hormones to.
Sure.
But then you sit down with Dr. Umat or one of our other physicians, and they say, how are you actually doing?
Yeah, what are your symptoms?
Right, and we see how they're functioning. Yeah. It may turn out that this individual needs to be higher or lower than our so-called optimal range.
Right.
Because our optimal range, just like the other normal range, our optimal range is a statistical construct that we've built. If you need to be 10 or 15% higher than that, then we're going to raise your levels. If you need to be 10 or 15% lower than that, we'll lower your levels.
Back to if you don't measure, you don't know. And it reminds me of our number one competition.
But it's more important than measure. Measure, that's good. Talk to the patient.
Yeah.
See how that one individual is actually responding to your therapy. That, I think, is the critical step. Yeah.
So there are people within our industry, not that there are that many doing it, a lot are trying. But they'll have you come in and they'll do some blood tests and things. They'll put you on
something
and say, get back to us in a year.
Yeah. And see, we're not going to do that. When we start a new patient, we calculate what we think they're going to need. And then we call them in a week. And we call them in 2 weeks. We bring them back in somewhere 4 to 6 weeks. We sit them down. We repeat all their labs again. And we make an adjustment. And it's not just based on the labs. It's also based on how they are functioning.
Yeah.
So it's a gestalt between the laboratory and the individual's function. But we measure them a second time at 4 to 6 weeks. We measure them again 2 to 3 months up the road. We measure them 3 months after that and 3 months after that. And if we need them sooner, we may measure them in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But we measure and adjust and evaluate and measure and adjust and evaluate over and over and over.
You're talking about Longevity Medical Clinic.
Yes. And, you know, I don't know how to do a really good job without that. I don't see how you can see somebody, say, well, your lab is here, try this and come back and see me in a year. I think it's crummy medicine.
Well, again, normal stinks. You've been saying that for a whole lot of time.
Right, you have.
when your doctor, it's actually, I have come to learn that when patients say that and when doctors say that, oh, well, that's normal for your age, that's really a scary thing to hear. It's really, you don't want a doctor to say, oh, that's normal for your age. That's kind of like giving up, right?
Yes, it is.
It's just giving up.
Well, I mean, it's fine if you're 18. He says it's normal for your age. But then he's usually talking about, you know, overwhelming exuberance of one sort or another. So.
This is just one more reason, folks, why you want to consider a free health analysis appointment. This is just one piece of the pie. Just talking about thyroid and all the other various things. I'm telling you, grab one of our free health analysis appointments. You get the two free tests, the blood test and also the special in-body test. And together they give you a wonderful little picture of where you're headed. And if you're not happy with the aging process you're going through right now, again, go to our website, lmclinic.com, and make an appointment. And yes, we're still offering $100 of free longevity supplements just for coming to a free appointment and getting two free tests. Kind of a no-brainer. We're still early in the year. Let's make this year your turnaround year. If you're not happy with the aging process, you can do something about it. Your first step, lmclinic.com. All right. Hey, we'll be back before you know it. Don't go far.
My wife was the one who listened. She goes, you got to listen to this guy. It makes a lot of sense. You know, he just made a lot of good common sense. You know, like you said, you don't measure, you don't know. I mean, physically, I'm stronger and faster than I was 10 years ago.
Yeah, Pete, get up. Dance to the music.
Can't you see me? Oh, boy. I love Sly and the Family Stone. I really do. That patient of ours just did that little 10-second testimonial, said that he has more strength and stamina than he had 10 years ago. Let's just talk about Bella Medica just for a minute. We're going to take one more call here. But Valentine's Day,
yes.
Obviously this weekend, and Bella Medica has some Valentine's specials,
yes,
that are pretty exciting. I'll explain what they are, but in fact, why don't you explain? There's three different categories, right?
Right. Yeah, we're very proud of what's happening over there. Our hair restoration program is seeing amazing results with good hair growth over the course of the year that we're treating them. And some patients are actually now coming in for maintenance in the second year as well. So we're very happy about that. And for the first time, we're offering a 30% off on the hair restoration program itself. So if you come in for a consultation and then you want to proceed, you'll get a discount.
Is that the Valentine's special?
That is the Valentine's special, yes. And then the second one is laser hair removal. So that's, you know, one of the most popular services we offer. And I think it's because our lasers are the brand new ones where we can do any skin type, any Fitzpatrick skin score we can manage for laser hair removal. So light skin, dark skin with dark hair, and we can treat it efficiently, effectively in less time. So for both men and women, for the first time, we're offering a 50% discount on laser hair removal package. And then the final one is maybe our flagship currently because we're getting amazing results with it. It's a microneedling PRP treatment. So any package of a microneedling PRP of the face, you will get a 50% discount. That just kind of blew up once we started that. Patients were seeing immediate results. And in fact, what you were saying earlier, Jerry, the research is lagging behind. I'm reading papers that are just published this month that are confirming that now.
What we've been doing.
So, and then I'm also looking into some more research with exosomes and microneedling. So lots of things coming around the corner in this where there's evidence-based medicine to support what they're saying. So I'm very happy to see what's coming down and that we are actually at the leading edge
right
for this.
Right on the leading edge.
And then, you know, we're looking into that new radiofrequency microneedling thing. I was shocked when I heard that. I said,
it's an extra $130,000.
Okay.
Let me get a little further ahead on the payments on the stuff we just bought.
Bottom line, some really good things are happening at Bella Medica. And for all of our new listeners, Bella Medica is the aesthetic division of Longevity Medical Clinic. We've been around for 15 years, but we're making a pretty big deal. We're offering it now not just to our patients at Longevity, but to the whole world. And it's pretty exciting. And again, so there's three categories, 50% off any and all of our hair removal packages. That's big. And with summer coming, oh my gosh, this is the time. 50% off all our hair removal packages. Also 50% off all of our face microneedling with PRP, I might add. All of those packages, 50% off. And then the 30% off our hair restoration program. I mean, this is huge. It's our Valentine's special. And yes, all you need to do is call us by the end of this coming week. Tomorrow is Valentine's Day. So obviously we're not open today or tomorrow. So if you call by this coming Friday, you can take advantage. Go ahead and make an appointment. You do that, by the way, at bellamedica.com. Bellamedica.com. Beautiful medicine. BellaMedica. And push the schedule now button and boom, you can make your own appointment. And if you need to call, you can call us at 844-744-4844. Again, it's 844-744-4844. Go ahead and take advantage of these specials, Valentine's Day specials. And now, before we go today, we've got time for just one more call.
Okay, let's try another call. Puyallup is where we're headed right now, and Jean. Jean, welcome to the show.
Hello, Jean.
Good morning, Dr. Mixon. So nice to talk to you. I'll make this short. 40-year-old son, acid reflux. He's in overall good health, very slender, runs a couple of miles a couple of times a week, and diagnosed with acid reflux. He had an upper endoscopy. Doctor said he does have GERD and also has LPR, the larynx reflux. That seems to be where the problem is in his larynx rather than his esophagus. Small hiatal hernia. Told to take proton inhibitors, which he prefers not to take. He did try, and they give some relief, but he doesn't want to be